This is Power Podcast UK with Jenny and Mark.
We're writing a book and we're having a tough time getting it done. If you find it hard to motivate yourself to do something, this is the podcast for you as we explore why we procrastinate and find ways to help us get our book finished.
Whether or not you're writing a book, making a film, painting a picture, or even motivating yourself to do the housework, join us. Let's find a way to get this stuff done.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 26 of POW Podcast UK, Procrastinate All Right. I'm here with Jenny, and we have a delightful episode for you all about writing plots. Plotting.
Plotting like evil people.
So why are we talking about this today, Jenny? Why?
You know what, Mark? It's a common theme at the moment. I think we've come to a point with our writing where we have hit a wall.
Oh dear.
A wall has been hit. Whether it's our motivation, which we talked about last episode, about getting getting the opportunities to do some writing, or is it the fact that our plot's a bit like, oh, what's happening next? We're not quite sure. So I thought it'd be a good time to have a look at how to structure plots, techniques to structure plots. It's hard to say. Techniques to structure plots and other interesting advice that can be used when you're plotting a novel.
Excellent.
I know, I've done some research this time. It's amazing.
Ooh. And it's always nice to kind of just go back to the kind of basics and refresh your mind and go back to techniques that you might think you know. It's always good to go back because you never know what you might learn along the way.
Absolutely. And I think with us, because we have a timeline and we did have a plot in mind, I don't think we've ever got to the point where we're resolving what happens in our story. Do you agree?
I don't know. I think there's areas where we kind of have gone down a little lane and we thought, well, we'll deal with the end of that another time. And then we've gone back to the main structure. I think there are little bits that we're still question marks over. But I think ultimately we know where we're going. We know the main arc of the story.
Okay. Let's work it out. Da-da, da-da. Gone a bit crazy, I think, now. So I was looking online and I found quite a few good websites for finding techniques for doing some plotting. And one is actually it's Jericho Writers, which used to be the Writers Workshop, which you can sign up for and stuff. So I'm going to have a look and see what that's about for maybe for next time. But they had a little bit about how to plot. And they said, what you need to do is write down the following headings. So main character, status quo.
Status motivation, quo?
Status quo, the band. Favourite status quo song, motivation, initiating incident, development, crisis, resolution. But in like one or two sentences for each heading. So, I mean, I think our problem is we've got like four main characters.
Yeah.
But then other books have that, so it's fine, isn't it? We'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, look at Lord of the Rings. There's about 1,000.
Yeah, but Frodo's the main one, isn't he?
But what about Ian McKellen?
No, he's not in it. Gandalf, you're thinking of.
Yeah, Gandalf.
He's not the main character. But it's Frodo. It's Frodo's journey.
But he's got
no one else's journey.
But he's got a doll. He's got an action figure.
Yeah, but it's like Harry Potter. They've all got action figures, but Harry Potter's the main guy.
But what about Hermione and Ron? They're also main.
They're not the main character. The clue's in the book, Mark. Every single thing. Harry Potter and.
But I think it's completely reasonable to have four characters that you'd have to do that for.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I think we need to gets a bit more complicated. But they had a nice example. Should I read you the nice example?
Yes, please.
It's they've done it with Pride and Prejudice.
Ooh, I love a bit of Pride and Prejudice.
Do you like? It's one of my favourite books.
Bit P&P.
I have to say. So, in this one, excuse me, the character is Lizzie Bennet, one of the five daughters. The status quo is that Lizzie and her sisters will be plunged into poverty if her father dies, so they need to marry well. The motivation is that Lizzie wants to marry for love. The initiating incident is that two wealthy gentlemen, Mr. Bingley and Mr. Darcy, arrive. The developments are Lizzie meets proud Mr. Darcy, the dashing stranger, Mr. Wickham, despises Mr. Darcy, likes Mr. Wickham, discovers that Darcy loves her and that Wickham isn't all that he seems. The crisis is that Lizzie's sister elopes, threatening the social ruin of her family, and it looks like Lizzie can't marry anyone. And the resolution is that Mr. Darcy helps Lizzie's sister. Lizzie agrees to marry him, deciding that she now loves him after all. And that is the whole book in literally, what, 8 sentences?
Crikey.
Crazy. So that's what we need to do. It needs to be like that clear. And then you've got other subplots. You've got like Jane and Mr. Bingley fall in love. Lydia Bennett elopes. Mr. Collins proposes marriage to Lizzie and then marries Charlotte Lucas. And all these other things. But really, you can condense it all in to like 8 sentences. That's what we need to do.
Okay. Good.
Okay. Yes.
I like it.
So we've got 4 characters.
We do. I know.
I'm trying to think about. I know you know. We wrote it together. I'm trying to think about how it would work.
Well, we'll get 4 pieces of paper. On each one, we'll write each character name.
Yeah.
And then we'll work through like that on each one. That's how we'll do it.
Do you think we should have one main character though, and then have the other ones as subplots?
No.
So the main character. No. Okay, moving on. Hear me out, Mark. So, like, character. Oh my God, what's our main character's name? It changed a while ago. It's not Ben anymore, is it?
Well, we'll refer to him as Ben. It's fine. I know who you're talking about.
Ben.
Yeah.
Ben is a marketing
genius. Guru.
Yeah, Ben is a marketing manager with a secret life.
Yeah.
Because that's practically what it is, isn't it? That is the character.
Yeah.
He's got one life and he's got a secret life. And then the status quo is he's being a bit of a naughty boy, shagging about a bit. That's it really, isn't it? He's being a naughty boy and shagging about a bit. It's not the same as Pride and Prejudice, to be fair.
Well, Jenny, I think you do our writing a disservice. I think we are very much on par with any.
I think us and Jane Austen are
iconic
almost
piece
the same.
Of British literature. I think we're up there. I think we are.
Okay, but yeah, see, this is it. What's Ben's motivation? Is there a motivation? He's quite happy in his life. Or is he quite secretly sad about his life? Maybe we should just need to put in some secret sadness.
Like a secret...
Has he got that secret sadness?
Like a secret Santa, but a little bit more upsetting.
Or a secret smile.
Oh.
Depends what you're up to. But yeah, like a secret bit of... Should there be some secret sadness? Because has he got a motive... Is he flat without this motivation factor?
This is interesting. I think we need to go away... draft those out using those principles, and then we'll come back and we can talk them through.
Okay.
This could be the subject of our car journey.
When we go in a car together?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I'll be busy driving though.
That's true.
And I must concentrate on the road, Mark. And you must be feeding me sweets the whole way. That's what we've decided. I'll give you a lift, but you have to feed me.
Okay, I like those as kind of real solid practice to go through.
Yeah, I think it obviously works really well. I will put the link to Jerrica Writers down because I thought that was really interesting, and it just like condenses everything down. And if you can do that with something like Pride and Prejudice, you could do it with anything.
I'd like to see a try with Harry Potter.
What, the whole thing or just one book?
The whole thing. Because it's one big...
The whole thing?
It's one big book,
isn't
it?
I could do it for Harry Potter. Harry Potter is an orphan in England. That's the character. The status quo is Harry Potter lives a horrible life with some horrible family that don't even like him, and he hasn't got any parents. Motivation is... See, that's why I fall down. You haven't got a motivation unless it falls upon you, has it? When he's in the cupboard, he hasn't got a motivation to get better or succeed. He wants to be a wizard, yeah, but he wants to defeat Voldemort. But that only happens after an event.
Yeah, because he's told what he has to do, basically.
Exactly. It's not got his own motivation. It's not there going, lying in his bedroom under the stairs going, oh God, I wish I could do some magic.
But his motivation is to be of the loving family, surely. And he's doing it for he's doing it for the legacy of his parents.
Because yeah, I'll give you that. Okay.
When he looks in that mirror of Erised, he sees his family, doesn't he?
Yes! Good point. So his motivation is to find...
Maybe we need a mirror of Erised in our book.
Yeah, I think we could just drop it in.
It'd work.
It's just like a shaving mirror or something in a public toilet or something. And they're just looking at it going, hang on a second.
Hang on a second.
My husband behind me?
Why is there a dragon on my shoulder? That'd be a plot twist.
So Harry's initiating. But thing is, this is all like initiating incident. Oh, Hagrid finds him. He's a wizard. Developments. A massive big fight with Voldemort over 7 years in which he learns magic, finds some friends, and has a great old time. Crisis. Voldemort's back! Ah! Resolution. Harry defeats Voldemort. Everyone happy. The end.
Oh, that's lovely.
I've done it.
That was nice.
Thanks.
But yeah, I think we should definitely do that.
Yeah, me and Hector watched Deathly Hallows Part 2, but only a bit of it, the film.
Ooh. Scary.
But it's when Ron and Hermione kissed. And I think that was the scariest part for Hector. He was like, oh my God, I had to cover his eyes.
Aww.
Not kissing. Ugh. Ugh. So yeah, see? It can be done. So we can do it.
Okay. C'est bon.
So if we did it for all four of our characters and then we could sort of mush it in. And then it would very much be a multi-layered plot. See, the more I think about our book, the more I think it is like a Penny Vincenzi kind of saga, because they've got lots of different characters,
yeah,
with lots of different plots, and I think it could be with that sort of short chapter structure as well. It could work really nicely in that way.
Okay.
And also with all the naughty bits.
the Penny.
I think that's really good.
Okay.
I think it's a good time to go for a break, Mark, if that's okay, and then we'll talk about the other things I found out.
Okay, let's have a little breaky pops. Go and grab a cup of tea, go and get a biscuit, or maybe a baby bell. I don't know.
I don't want a baby bell.
A cup of tea.
Grab some mixed nuts, unsalted.
Mixed unsalted nuts with your cup of tea? Is that go-to snack of choice with your tea?
That's my snack of choice at the moment. Well, it's good protein, you don't need that many, and they're very tasty.
You make a good argument, Jenny.
Thank you. I know.
It's all right.
Okay, go. Everyone grab some nuts.
Everybody go and grab your nuts. Grab your tea. And have all the time.
We'll see you in a minute.
See you in a bit. Bye.
Bye. Hey, guys. Did you know that if you like anything we've talked about in the podcast, any books or films, we always put links on our show notes so you can go through to Amazon and have a look and maybe buy them if you fancy them.
You can find all our show notes at padpodcastuk.blogspot.co.uk. So find the link to the thing that we talked about that you thought, aha, oh, that sounds really good. I need to find out more information. Click on that link, it will take you through to Amazon and they will furnish you with all the information you need about it. The full descriptions, yeah. Different formats. So whatever it is, whether or not it's a film, a book, go for it. Find all those links. Knock yourself out. Find more information.
Hey, if you've got Prime, you can have it the next day.
What a service. And if you have Prime, that means you can watch films and TV and stuff as well on your TV, which is really, really good.
That is very good, actually. Guys, go do it.
Have a look at all the information that we are servicing you with and that we are improving your lives by directing you to this literature or this film. Isn't that right, Jenny?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That is definitely what we do. Also, buy some dog food. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Did you have a nice break? Did you grab some nuts? Good. I'm glad.
Yay.
Hi, Mark.
Part two.
Right. Part two. So we were talking about structuring plots, and I gave a little overview from Jericho Writers, which is very good. But I also did some other research, and I found some really cool plot structures for building bestsellers from wellstoried.com. I'll put the link on as well. But they have proper names. It's very exciting.
Mm.
Okay. So in this blog, it talks about Freytag's pyramid.
Whose pyramid?
Freytag's pyramid.
Who's Freytag?
I don't know who Freytag is. I will find out. I just didn't write that bit down. But literally, it's when your plot of your book goes like beginning, building up, building up, building up, like the point of a pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
Crisis. Resolution coming down the other side. Resolution, resolution, resolution. So the building up line of the pyramid is not as steep as the coming down side of the pyramid.
Yeah.
If you understand my meaning.
Yeah. It's like an anthill.
Yeah.
It starts off a bit more shallow, then it rises to a peak, or a termite mound.
Yeah. And then it drops. It drops a bit, not like mega steep, but steeper.
Like a stalagmite. So
that's like a very simple plot, like you get in a kid's book or something like that. So, you know, dog, happy dog, running around. Oh, no, get stuck in a fence. Oh, my head's stuck. Oh, someone comes and releases him. Happy dog. See?
Oh, I love that book.
That's the novel. That's the plot of my next kid's book. Dog gets stuck in fence.
The dog in the fence.
And then she talks about how that's very simple. But another plot structure is the Fichtean curve.
Ooh.
This is a bit more interesting. So if you imagine your pyramid from the first one, the quite simple one, but instead of that shallower rise, you've got like scallopy wave shapes, like with bites cut out of it.
Yeah.
Along the side of it. And it's these peaks, which are the little mini crises that lead up to the big climax. And then you've got shallow resolution setting out towards the end.
Mm.
See?
Yeah.
So you set out your plot and you think, well, this is the big thing that's going to happen right at the end. And then all the way through, I need climax one, climax two, crisis one, crisis two, you know, all the way up. And that's a good way of setting out the plot.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
It's a nice,
that was really interesting.
It's a nice visual way to think about the journey of your reader. On those kind of spikes.
Mm-hmm. It said, it begins immediately with the rising action, the exposition being scattered throughout the first half of the story. Many crises appear, each followed swiftly by its own mini falling and rising action. At last, the story reaches its climactic conflict around 2/3 of the way through the book, leaving the remaining pages for falling action, where loose ends are tied up and a new normalcy is established for the characters.
Mm.
So that's a good way of thinking about it. I think, well, this is my book, and then this happens, this happens, this happens. Ah, crisis, everyone happy.
Mm.
So that's the Fichtean curve. It does say it makes a bestseller because it creates a page turner that won't let your readers go. It's like watching Line of Duty, isn't it?
I've never watched Line of Duty, Jenny. No. I watched Killing Eve.
It's just like that. And like The Bodyguard. Like all that writing
with Whitney Houston,
hangers.
Hmm? Kevin Costner, yes. Whitney Houston.
Yes, oh, I love that film. Anyway, it's like that because you've got all these mini cliffhangers, but like a soap, I guess. But the soap doesn't rise up to one point, but you're like, oh my god, and then you come back, oh my god, and you come back, and it's the same thing for the book because your people are going, oh my god, I've got to keep reading.
Ooh,
that's what it should be like.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Another plot structure is the hero's journey. A perfect plot structure for most fantasy, science fiction and horror books. If your hero is stumbling into a new world or a new understanding of the world, then this is the structure for you. We're not really doing that, but I got it anyway, and it's just like a big old circle.
A circle?
Yeah. So he starts at the top.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. He has a call to his adventure. Ooh, starts going around the circle. He accepts a call to his future. Ooh. Goes round rising action, defeat, death and rebirth at the bottom of the circle, goes into atonement, going up the other side. It's about 9 o'clock on your clocks if you're doing it like that. Oh, he's got a journey home. Oh, back up the top. He's got his new normal.
Oh.
There you go.
That sounds like a lovely plot. I like this idea of rebirth and atonement.
I like it when you can think about them as shapes. I think it's really nice to picture it that way. I don't think I've ever thought about it that way, and I like it. I like it a lot.
Hmm.
I want all my things to be pictured now. I'm on a diagram for everything.
Good.
You don't know that, sure.
I don't know if I read that last one about the circle, because that could quite as easily be a pyramid. He goes all the way up to the top and then he heads back down again once he gets to the rebirth and fight thing. But anyway.
I suppose, but in this one, it's like, it's a cycle. He goes back to the beginning, but he's changed. No one else has. I think that's probably the thing. Whereas in another book, everything would have changed, perhaps.
Okay.
If it's just a journey. Like if you go on a really harrowing journey to the post office, you come back. It's only you that's changed. Nothing else has changed.
Apart from the post worker that bared the wrath of your fury as you realised your envelope was a bit too padded to get through the 50p mark.
And then you push it through and you've got a rebirth.
Ugh! Yep.
See?
Yeah.
And then you can atone for it and you go home and it's your new normal.
Yep. Is that the plot of your second kid's book, Jenny?
Yes.
Barry the dog goes to the post office.
The dog has to post a really big letter.
Yep.
It's a bone for his friend.
And he's upset it doesn't class as a small letter. It's actually a large parcel.
And then he bites someone by mistake, and then he really has to think about his actions. And they have to run out of the post office. People are going, oh, and he has to get out, do a forward roll.
The silly dog.
And walk home.
Barry.
And his friend never gets his bone. But that's something he has to live with in his new normal.
Wow.
Oh, poor Barry. I don't know if I want to call him Barry.
But if he's not getting his head stuck in the fence, he's busy getting thrown out of post offices for being too violent.
That's exactly the same thing. Maybe a postman can release him from the fence in the first book and he can make another appearance in the second book, like a cameo.
The postman could be called Barry.
Yes.
What's the dog called?
Barry, the postman's mischievous dog.
Bianca.
I don't know. Bianca? It's a funny name for a dog. Coco.
Coco.
Coco the crazy cockapoo. Ah.
Is it male or female dog?
It's a female dog.
Good.
There's not enough female dogs.
Can we call it Coachella? So it's a bit obvious, more of a sense. It's not so ambiguous.
Coachella?
Coachella.
Coachella.
Coco Beanella.
Coco Beanella, I like. Okay, cool. Where's this going, Matt?
Beanie for sure.
Anyway. So that was my plotting. And I'm really excited. But I think if anyone else has got any other ideas about how to plot novels, I would love to hear them, especially if they involve diagrams and pictures and things with scallop shapes cut out.
Do you like Venn diagrams? Do you like Venn diagrams?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, if anyone has any of those.
I like those too. Anything pictorial, I'm here for the pictures. Yeah.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah.
I like a picture too, Jenny.
Work really well.
You're not alone.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I should think you would. You're very artistic.
You're not alone.
If you didn't like pictures, what would happen?
Well, what would happen?
What would happen to the world?
It would start imploding. Yeah. I just know it.
That's exactly what would happen.
Phew-ee. Thank goodness for those pictures, eh?
Yeah. So that's it, really. Have you got anything else you want to talk about today, Mark? How's your roller coaster?
My roller coaster? Well, it's all right. I'm now working on getting Captain Hook into my kingdom.
Very good.
I don't have Michael or John either, which is quite distressing. But there's an event happening where I get the little cricket from Mulan.
Ah, lovely.
Everyone needs a cricket from Mulan. That's very nice.
I'm very bored. I need a new game. If anyone's got any ideas for new games I can play, I need one.
About Mario Kart.
No, we've got that on the Switch. I don't need Mario Kart. I need like a little puzzly game I can play on my phone.
Well, Candy Crush, Jen.
I've done Candy Crush. I'm bored of Candy Crush.
What about Disney Emoji Blitz?
What's Disney Emoji Blitz? That sounds fantastic. Is it the same as Candy Crush, but with Disney emojis?
Yeah. So they look a bit like Tsum-Tsums, and you have to collect them all.
I had the Tsum Tsum game. I liked it because it was quite cute.
Yeah.
It felt quite squishy.
And each character has a different ability.
I like that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that then.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. That'll waste some time. I'll schedule that in. Emoji Blitz time. Beep, 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 beep. I'll tell you what though, doing Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, I have cut down my phone.
Excuse me?
I've cut down my phone use by an hour a day.
Because you're busy doing... Because you've just been busy doing Rangan Chatterjee.
I'm doing meditation, I'm stretching, I'm drinking herbal tea. But no, also because I think it's the same as the other... What's the other book we read? Hang on.
It Calm by Fern Cotton?
No, it's Catherine Price. Catherine Price, How to Break Up With Your Phone.
Is that Katie Price?
It's behind me.
Katie Price's sister.
Catherine Price, no. Catherine Price. And she was very keen on not having the phone by your bed. And he's the same thing. Don't look at it first thing in the morning. And I listened to his podcast with Emma Willis, who said the same thing, that she, when she gets up,
she won't let her phone till the kids
are at school.
Hold the phone. Emma Willis was on Dr. Chatterjee's podcast.
Yeah, and Matt Willis is on it as
what?
Well. What? You're not scrolling down far enough.
How have I not found it? I've gone back to the start, Jenny. I'm on episode 5.
Oh, well, I pick and choose.
And I listened to the latest two as well.
Yeah.
I didn't know Emma Willis was on this. That's a, oh.
It was very nice to talk about how she kind of just looks at it at work time, and then in the evening after 6 o'clock, she doesn't look at her phone so she can spend time with Matt doing, you know,
yoga.
Family things.
That's so nice.
So I took that on board too, and I found it really useful.
I love Emma Willis. She can do no wrong in my eyes.
I do like her. I like her hair.
I like her personality, Jenny.
I just like her hair. Here for the hair.
That is good. It's difficult though. I think it's quite easy to say. Just don't look at your phone after, and don't. But it is hard because it's so easy.
It's hard, but then you feel, yeah, they feel guilty. Because I thought about getting a ukulele the other day, and then I spent some time looking at ukuleles. But when I was looking at it, I was going, this is just ruining my hours, my average weekly screen time on my thing. So I felt bad.
Oh, Jenny.
I should have gone up to my laptop and had a look.
Yeah. Yeah, it's difficult.
But then you're still doing screeny things, aren't you? Just not on your phone. It's a difficult one.
Maybe there's a theory that you don't look at your computer whilst you're in the front room enjoying quality time with your family, whereas you can easily get on your phone because it's so small and compact.
Well, yeah, because it's just there, isn't it? And it takes your attention all the time because you can just go, I'll look at that quickly. I'll look at that quickly instead of going upstairs to your lappy-toppy.
But then again, some people just use the TV for that, don't they? They just get together, just watch TV and don't, like, look after their families and relationships.
Yeah, there's lots of things. You could have a drinking problem. That would be pretty bad, or a drug problem.
I love a drinking problem.
I know Nick's doing Dry January, so I don't have a drinking problem. Except I don't have a drinking partner at the moment.
Do you know, I saw a report that Dry January is really bad for the local pubs.
Yes, it is.
Because people aren't going there to drink soft drinks. And so they're losing money and they're closing down.
Oh, what, just in a month?
No, but it's such a depletion on their takings.
Yeah, my friend went out in the first week of January into Newbury's, one of the most popular pubs, and there were 3 people in there on a Friday night, 8 o'clock.
But do you think that's because of Dry January?
I think it's half Dry January, half just generally places are quiet in January because no one's got any money.
Do you know what you need to do? You need to open up a vegan shop in January, a pop-up vegan shop, and you'll be rich.
Pop-up vegans, yeah.
Because all the vegan people would need somewhere to buy stuff. And all the Dry January people don't want to go to pubs. Maybe pubs just turn into vegan restaurants in January.
If you're a pub, I think that's what I'd do. I would do like non-alcoholic cocktails and vegan food.
Just for January.
just for January and then get back. As soon as it's the end, just go, nah, everyone out. meat and booze.
Everyone out. Sausage rolls are back in town.
It's red wine and steak night. Yeah. So that is what I would do.
Jenny, we should open up a pub.
Yeah, what, halfway between our houses?
Yeah. And then for every pint we pour, we'll tell someone a little bit more of the story.
That'd be really good, wouldn't it? To have a really a literary pub.
Yeah.
Loads of books on the wall people could read and little spaces where you could write and like little cozy nooks. Oh, that'd be lovely.
And then you're only told the end of the story once you're drunk. And then you only get really happy about it or really emotional about it or really angry about it. And so the emotion of the will be very extreme.
Booze. Every time you get a drink, you get a little card with a little bit more of the story.
Yeah.
So you piece it all together every time you drink, like a loyalty card.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
That's really good.
Let's do it.
We'll have to put no spoilers on everything, though.
Yeah. Ah, oh, it's really nice. Let's do it.
But if you buy a round for someone or a group, you're going to spend all your time at the bar reading your story. You'll forget to go and give the drinks.
Well, only like a little bit, not a lot. But then if you bought 5 drinks, would you get 5 cards?
Yeah.
Or just one card?
And you'd be there so long, you'd be reading the story before you go and give the drinks to your mates. So everyone would be getting really thirsty while you're just reading a book.
But then they come buy their own drinks because they got thirsty and fed up. So you'd be selling double the drinks. It's a winner. Yay.
I can't see anything wrong with this problem.
It's a plan.
I can't see anything wrong with this plan.
It sounds amazing. Right. Should we go and start our plan toward domination, starting with a pub?
Yes. We shall.
Okay, dokie. Cool.
I'll start looking up licenses and you can start designing cocktails.
Yay. If you've got any ideas for our pub, you can contact us on lots of things. What can they contact us on, Mark?
Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Or Twitter.
All right.
Or Facebook.
Is it Pow Podcast UK?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's on Facebook as well.
Yeah.
Or you can email us.
Is that powpodcastuk@gmail.com?
Yep, that's it.
Yep.
Or you go to our website.
Is that powpodcastuk.blogspot.com?
No. It's powpodcastuk.blogspot.co.uk.
Ah, so close.
You are so close. But,
so close.
But to be fair, Google might work out where you want to go anyway, so you should be fine.
Yeah, if you just type in powpodcastuk in Google and press it, that happens too.
Yeah, it's magic. Our faces appear.
It's magic.
And we both start reading stories at you.
From a pub.
No.
Oh, lovely. Oh, thanks, Mark. This is fun.
It's my pleasure, Jenny. My pleasure. And I just had a thought. Does the quality of the book that we give out with our loyalty points increase depending on the price of the drinks as well? So if you were to get a double malt whiskey, do you get a really good story?
No.
No?
Because I think we've not got time. We're busy pouring pints. We haven't got time to write 6 different stories for different price points.
And we're not being indiscriminate with our customers then. We're being nice and fair
exactly.
and equal.
Well, I don't mind how much you spend, as long as you spend it.
Well, so guys, if you want to get yourselves a nice drink in a nice pub and find out the goings-on of Barry the dog and his fence and the postman, you need to get down to our pub. The Power Pub.
Yeah. Pow Pub. Pow Pub UK.
We'll see you next time for episode 27.
27. 27.
27. 27. I love
great.
That number.
Bye, Mark.
Bye, bye. Thanks, everyone. Ciao, Bella.
Ciao.
Pizza, pasta. Bye.
Off.
Find all our show notes and links on our website, powpodcastuk.blogspot.co.uk, or you can email us at powpodcastuk@gmail.com.
Find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram @PowPodcastUK.
Please give us a like and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.